Jim Fried.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
And Wanda Miles.
What took you so long?
On 880, The Biz.
And we're back.
Hey, Mike, we're back. Hey, Wanda, that was a great break. Thank you so much for all that fun stuff you put in there.
Hey, stick around for more.
All right. It's always great. Always fun when Wanda's here. But we were teasing people with disco fever, Saturday night fever. You got anything good for me from the disco era? And please don't tell me more, more, more.
You don't like more, more, more?
Of course I do. It's why I brought it up. How do you like it?
You know, the movie Saturday Night Fever to me is one of the great time capsules of any era. If there's anybody listening to the show that hasn't seen that movie or hasn't seen it in a while, go back and listen to it, because go back and watch it, because unlike a movie that's made nowadays that kind of looks back at the 70s, a lot of times they overdo some of the fashions and the music, but that movie was made during the era of disco. So, I mean, it's not a parody of it, and it's not an exaggeration. It is a slice of life of that club crowd in the late 70s.
Oh, yeah.
And the music from it is tremendous. And I don't know how many people know this, but the whole thing began from an article that Nick Cohn wrote, the great British music journalist. He had written an article called Tribal Rights of the New Saturday Night. And Robert Stigwood, who owned RSO Studios, mm-hmm. read that article and said to himself, we can do a movie about disco. He bought the rights to the article, and that quickly became Saturday Night Fever, which, you know, nowadays we all know John Travolta. He's been a movie star forever, but that movie really helped launch John Travolta's career.
I'm wearing 3 gold chains right now, and I think I may still have
button your shirt up.
I think I still have a white Nick shirt. I definitely got
tight
Sassoon jeans.
In the head at the table, and he's like, "Don't touch my hand!
Yes,
don't touch my hand!"
Of course,
such a great performance.
Oh, I love
such
that
a great performance.
Yes,
yeah.
he was tremendous. Even the woman that played their supporting actor, she was great too. I loved
I'll give
all
you
those
another
guys.
Great little tidbit about the movie and the soundtrack.
Please.
When John Travolta took the role, they put him into dance classes because they wanted him up to snuff. And they gave him the Bee Gees song, You Should Be Dancing, to practice to.
Oh.
But when they came time to shoot that scene, they wanted to use Night Fever because it was a natural tie into Saturday Night Fever. But it was John Travolta, who I believe, if I remember, was 21 years old at the time, who said, no, You Should Be Dancing is the better song. We should use that. And he convinced them to use that. And if you listen to those two songs, I would agree with Travolta. I think Night Fever is a good song, but the classic, one of the great disco songs of the era is You Should Be Dancing.
Yeah.
And that's the song they use for that scene based on John Travolta's recommendation.
Somebody taught him to dance.
Denny Terrio.
He went into intensive dance lessons.
Wow.
He was already a talented young man, but those moves that he pops out in that movie. It was Denny Terrio.
Okay.
Denny Terrio from Dance Fever is the guy that taught him.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm an old man, but that's my era. Okay,
yeah.
Let's open up something for some other folks in the crowd. Tell me a little bit about the myth, the legend, the one who sings about America, Whitney Houston. You got anything good about Whitney Houston?
Yeah, I do. You know, Whitney she's such a phenomenal artist and another one of those, and I try not to do too much in this book, but another artist that left us way too early and very sadly. One of the things I do talk about, you know, I tried to make sure that I was topical on certain days of the year based on, again, if people are going to read this book on that date, you know, specifically. I thought long and hard about what to write about on September 11th because that's a day that we all as Americans wake up. And, you know, even though it's been years and years since the tragedy, we wake up in a somber mood. So I decided to tell the story on that day about the national anthem and about how the Star Spangled Banner was written and everything else. And I mentioned in the telling of that, to me, I think the quintessential performance of that song is Whitney Houston's before the Super Bowl in, what was that, I think, 91?
Yeah.
Right after, I don't think there's ever been a better performance.
It was right after 9/11. It was right after 9/11.
Yes, was it? Okay.
Yeah. It was right. No. It was 91. So it was during the Gulf War.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I remember she said it's during one of the wars that I remember for sure.
Yeah. It was definitely a time of war, but it was before 9/11. It was 91. So that would have been during the Gulf War, right?
Yeah. So I want to get my hair long again. How about Led Zeppelin?
I actually start there. If you read this, if you get this book,
New Year's Day,
on January 1st, New Year's Day.
Love it.
I tell the story. I tell the story of New Year's Day in 1970. And this is one of the quirks of looking at the Billboard charts, which I spent a lot of time looking at the charts. On New Year's Day, 1970, Led Zeppelin 2 was sitting at number one and Abbey Road was sitting at number two.
Wow.
And those two albums, if you look at the charts, those two albums shifted for the next couple of weeks. Abbey Road would go back to one and Zeppelin 2 would drop back.
And
it was almost like the two decades were fighting with each other.
Is.
The 60s were over, but they weren't going quietly into the night. And the 70s were starting, but they didn't start with a bang. They were wrestling to take control. And if you know music history, what two better bands are there? The Beatles were the king of the 60s, mm-hmm. and Zeppelin would go on to be the king of the 70s. So there aren't two better bands and two better albums to kind of fight that fight on January 1st, 1970.
4th of July.
You know, that was another date that I thought to myself, what is an American going to want to read on the 4th of July? And, you know, there were a number of times when I was doing the research for this book that Hendrix. I felt like the musical gods Hendrix. Gave me a gift. And I got one on July 4th, 1976, which is the day America celebrated
its bicentennial.
Tom Petty happened to be in the studio. Oh. Guess what song he recorded on that day? American Girl.
Oh, really?
Excellent.
Isn't that perfect?
That's great.
July 4th, 1976. And that probably, Petty has never said whether he was influenced by that, but, you know, the day, I mean, I'm old enough to remember. I was 10 years old in 76. I'm old enough to remember the bicentennial and how important that was to all of us. Tom Petty was writing and singing American Girl in the studio on that day.
Well, she was an American girl, raised on promises. She couldn't help thinking that there was a little more life somewhere else.
I was in Philadelphia on that date, actually.
Oh, wow. Well,
that'll work.
I was on a teen tour, so we were all, it was, well, you know, what do you want? It was the 70s. I was a hippie. What do you want from my life?
Ah, oh, Jim.
Okay. Well, listen,
awesome.
Tom Petty, that is a great Tom Petty story. I'm from, I, you know, saw Tom
we
Petty
Tom.
In Gainesville. I love Tom Petty.
I'll give you another date that the musical gods gave me a gift. On March 17th, I said, you know, wouldn't it be great if I could find something about an Irish band? St. Patrick's Day, people who wake up on St. Patrick's, they'd like to hear that. In 1978, a young and unsigned U2 won a talent contest in Dublin. They won a talent contest and went on, which helped launch them and their career. So that was another one of those. I was really hoping to find something on March 17th to write about. And it just so happened that U2 was the perfect band to write about on that day.
My U2 story, I saw them at the Rathskeller in Gainesville. Again, they were touring out of the back of a bus. It was
amazing. What year? Do you remember?
80. 1980.
Wow. So they were just breaking.
I'm telling you, 1980. It was you know.
Those were the days.
Yeah, you free beers in the back if you went to see the band for $5. So we're kind of getting towards the end of this segment. I want to ask just a couple of other good dates. December 24th. That's my birthday.
I was going to ask.
That's my birthday.
Is that right? Well,
yeah.
Happy birthday belated. But,
thank
you know,
you.
Right around Christmas, I wanted to tell, again, thinking about the reader, if you are reading this on that date. So on December 24th, I tell the story of Do They Know It's Christmas, the charity song that they put together in 1984 that the English artists put together. So on Christmas Eve, that happened to have peaked on the U.S. charts in 84. So it was a perfect, you know, example to tell that story on that date. And it's an incredible story, really, because in October of 84, so 2 months beforehand, Bob Geldof just happened to be watching TV and he saw a BBC report about the famine in Ethiopia, and he was moved into action, and he basically called his friend Midge Ure, another musician, and said, we can do something, let's put something together.
Christmas time, the greatest.
decided that putting a song out for charity was the best way. They rounded up a bunch of English musicians. Within weeks, they had the song recorded. It was out in early December, and it sold millions of copies that month and raised a ton of money. And then, if you know anything about Bob Geldof, he was so inspired by that moment, he went on the following year to plan Live Aid.
Yeah.
Yep. So I have one more band I want to ask because we're running out of time, and no discussion about music would be complete in my world without the Rolling Stones. What do you got for me on the Rolling Stones?
I have so many Rolling Stones stories in this book. To me, I mean, they are one of the great bands in rock and roll history.
Oh, they're the best. I've seen them all, and these guys, every single person in the stadium dances when these guys come on. Mm. They're the dance band. They really are.
I'll tell you what, they know how to work an audience.
They're
Jagger,
great.
In my opinion, is tremendous. The quintessential lead singer. So let me tell you an interesting Rolling Stones story. 1968, they get together in the studio, start working on new material. At that point, Jagger has written a poem that he envisions as a folk song, kind of a Bob Dylan song, and it's called Sympathy for the Devil. Oh, they begin working the song up in the studio. They kind of change the beat. They give it a little somber rhythm. At that point, in early June of 68, at that point, there's a lyric in the song where Jagger sings, "I shouted out who killed Kennedy."
Yes.
On June 6th, so while they're working on the song, Bobby Kennedy is killed. And before they finalize the song, Jagger changes that lyric to, "I shouted out who killed the Kennedys." Isn't that an amazing story that while they were working on the song, the second Kennedy brother is killed? Tragic, but amazing, isn't it?
Well, there's these weird things that happen, but that's why they call it rock and roll.
And that's what this book is full of, Jim. I hope that you know people who buy this book and read it are blown away by some of those interesting facts that I've been able to discover.
We're blown away by you. We got to have Mike back, Wanda.
Thanks.
How are we going to work that out? We got to find another good day in rock and roll.
I'd like to visit you in person because I'm up here in cold New Jersey right now, and you guys are beautiful in Miami.
Every day's beautiful in Miami.
Come on down.
Let us know.
Wanda, the next time you get interviewed, me, I'm showing up in the studio.
All right.
That's a for sure, Mike. Hey, listen, you stay warm up there. You have a great holiday season and a great new year, okay?
Thank you so much. Happy New Year.
All right, and go for Led Zeppelin on New Year's.
Mike, where can we get that book?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Wanda. Thanks for asking. It's available on Amazon, so just look for On This Date in Music. If you would like an autographed copy, I've set up a website, which is the title of the book, onthisdateinmusic.com. And if you buy it off of that site, then I can sign it for you and autograph it. If not, get it right off of Amazon. They'll have it to you in a couple of days.
Oh, see, still, so, you know, you can get it still for New Year's. Read it over New Year's. Have a thing each day. You do something. It's like a nice thing.
That's a fun gift.
It is a fun gift. It's something the whole family can enjoy.
Absolutely.
Dad, tell me about the Rolling Stones. Who are they?
Okay, listen to me, sonny.
There you go. Mike, we can't thank you enough. Have a great holiday, Mike.
It was a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
All right, we'll be back with more great stuff here on Freedom Business. Stick with us.